Warning! What you are about to hear is guaranteed to move you out of your comfort zone towards higher ground. You have just one attempt at life. Live it on purpose, not by accident. For a person to be without complete and accurate knowledge is not good. Therefore, you are invited as you listen to the senior pastor, Daystar Christian Center, and presenter, Success Power, Reverend Sam Adeyemi.
Effective planning. We discussed on that the last time, and I want us to go into some more practical details this time around. Planning is the key to success. Remember Proverbs 24, verses 3 and 4 from the Living Bible. Proverbs 24, verses 3 and 4 from the Living Bible. Every enterprise is built by wise planning, becomes strong through common sense, and profits wonderfully by keeping abreast of the facts. Every enterprise is built by wise planning, becomes strong through common sense, and profits wonderfully by keeping abreast of the facts. Wise planning. In Luke 14:28, Jesus said, "Which of you, intending to build a tower, does not sit down first and count the cost?" That's what they do. For any sound building, any serious building around, there's got to be a blueprint. There's got to be planning. There's got to be calculations. There's got to be placement of doors and windows and whatever. The architect has to work, structural engineer, mechanical engineer, electrical engineer, that has, and the quantity surveyor. All of that has to go on before you start construction at all. Jesus said, if you want to live any meaningful life, you have to sit down first. And when he says first, that means that's the priority. When I was in school, if you failed an examination, you wrote the paper again. And they call that a receipt. You had to receipt. Amen. Which meant that you didn't sit down well the first time. Okay? Sit down again. Sit down. You didn't sit properly. You know, most students fail examinations not because they are not intelligent, but because they don't plan. No plan. No definite plan. No specific goals of the grades to get. Most students only wake up to the reality of their low grade point averages in their final year. And everybody knows that by the final year, it's too late to decide to get a first class. If you will get a first class, you have to start from the first year. That's how it works. No planning. You have to sit down first. That's why I'm bringing this message to us now. I feel that strong impression in my heart that the next year is the best. It's going to be the best we've ever had. It's going to be the most productive we've ever had. That's very important. Enough of spiritual gimmicks. I have tried many of them. They don't work. I've carried out, I experiment a lot. I want to know what works. Common sense tells you, you should find what works and work on that. Find what works and work on that. I have tried many things that did not work. In fact, I should confess to you that I have tried more things that did not work than the ones that worked. It's just that the world only recognizes you for the ones that worked. Amen. But I can help to prevent you from wasting time in carrying out unnecessary experiments. Spiritual gimmicks. I was in school, an engineering student. My first semester, I failed mathematics. I scored 29%. And I tried to handle it the way most Christians do. The second semester, I prayed. I did prayer and fasting. I prayed and I fasted. When the result came out, I scored 28. The prayer and fasting took 1% away. from the whole thing. Am I saying that prayer and fasting doesn't work? Far from that. I'm just saying that you can't use spiritual gimmicks to break God's rules and expect accurate results. Now, the following semester, what did I do again? I fasted and prayed more. God had mercy on me. I scored 29%. I guess God just said, yeah, this boy who is punishing, give him his 1% back. Okay. All I needed to do was to sit down and calculate how, because my failing that course did not mean that I was dumb. I was sharp. It just meant that I didn't know some things. I had to work closely with the guys who understood it. We were sitting in the same class. Some people scored A, you scored F. So why don't you ask the people who know it? I had to get close to the lecturer, ask him questions. Hey, it was better to deal with it before the examination hall. And I did. And just a change of tactics. My score was so strong, the fourth semester, it cleared all my backlog. Okay? So, enough of spiritual gimmicks. Amen? If your current approach is not working, change style. Zig Ziglar said, for us to do things the way we have always done them and to expect different results is one of the definitions of insanity. It's one of the definitions of madness. You did it that way the first time. You failed. You did it again. It failed. You did it again. But that's what Christians, they just... We discussed the last time from Luke 15, the prodigal son. And from that story, we saw that you can plan your way out of poverty into prosperity. You can plan your way out of failure. You can plan your way out of marital stress if you will sit down to think. Amen. In Habakkuk chapter 2, verse 2, he said, write the vision. Make it plain upon the tables that he may run that reads it. The realization of every goal or dream is in planning. Sitting down to plan. In 1948, they carried out a survey on all the students in the graduating class at Yale University in the United States. They found out only 3% of them had clear ideas of where they wanted to go in life and had written them down in details and strategized how to get there. Only 3%. Another 10% had some vague ideas of what they wanted to become in their minds, but they didn't write them down. They didn't take time to plan in detail. The other 87% were just assuming that things would be okay after graduation. 25 years later, 1973, they contacted all of them and found out that without fail, they had broken into those segments. The first 3% who had detailed plans had accomplished between 50 to 100 times more than the 10% that had plans but didn't write them down. We're not talking of the other 87%. We're talking about the difference between the 3% that sit down to do detailed planning. So what the Holy Spirit is asking us to do this year is not just to write goals. It's to break those goals down in details. To have a roadmap, clear one. So, it's been established that the 3% who write their goals, and they found out that statistic is true all over the world. 3% write their goals down in details. Another 10% have some ideas of some goals. They don't write anything down in details. The remaining 87% drift through life, just taking whatever comes along the way. So, the difference between the 3% that write and the 10% that don't write, between 50 to 100 times more. This church is about raising role models. We are out to raise the 3%. I said we are for the 3%. We don't have... We are sent to raise the 3%. Nobody can stay here. If you make the mistake of coming here, you have succeeded by mistake. Amen. So some of the people in the 87% find themselves in prison. And then they now ask themselves, what am I doing here? What are you not doing there? Most of the people in prison are there because they did not decide to go anywhere else. So life carried them there. Since you didn't plan to be anywhere else and you are now there, enjoy this day. I could not have been in prison now. Why? I planned where I was supposed to be, and it is here. If I was in prison now, it would be for persecution for the gospel, and that would be okay. But that I was arrested for stabbing somebody with a knife, there's no room for that. I stabbed the devil with the sword of the spirit. That's the only one accommodated within my plan and goals. Other than that, I'm winning souls, giving people powerful messages, helping to make people's lives better. Those are the things in my goal. I can't even have time to stab anybody. On Monday, I was in the studio. I recorded 40 radio broadcasts on Monday. We can't finish that and be stabbing anybody. There's no strength to stab anybody again. I've been stabbing poverty and failure out of people's lives. That's enough. On Thursday, I was back in the studio. I did 30 broadcasts. Straight in the studio. Okay, so I had organized where I was supposed to be. There is no pilot that is allowed to take off with an aircraft at the airport without a flight plan. The control tower will not clear the person to take that aircraft off, or else you have a disaster going somewhere to happen. You must submit a flight plan which they will sign and stamp. You keep a copy, they keep a copy there. And you must state on your course. So that's why most people in life are not high flyers. Heaven can't clear them to fly high. There's no flight plan. And a pilot and an aircraft in the air without a flight plan is a dangerous experiment going somewhere to happen. The person will not only disturb himself, he will disturb everybody else who is flying. That's why they should keep him on ground. Those who have flight plans can fly high. I see you flying high next year. I see heaven clearing you to fly higher than you have ever flown in your life before. If you believe that, say a powerful amen. Amen. Steps to planning. Because it's the practical thing I want us to discuss here. Well, you just take this down very quickly. Before I do the steps, there's something we call ABC of goals. ABC, just simple truths. ABC of goals. ABC of goals. A, achievable. Your goal must be achievable. Your goals must be achievable. Realistic, that's what I mean. Realistic, achievable. Achievable. There's no point in you planning to go to the moon next year. Keep yourself on the ground. There are more important things to achieve around here. Amen. Achievable. Okay. B. Believable. Believable. The goals must be believable. I mean that, listen, you should not set goals that are so low that they don't even move you. No. Set goals that will make blood to run in your veins. Something that will challenge you, excite you. But don't set those goals to be so large or so big that they will not overwhelm you. You yourself, you are discouraged just looking at it. You can't figure out how it will happen. There's a big doubt that has come up in your heart and mind. Spiritual principles don't work that way. Without faith, it is impossible to please God. So it's got to be believable. And then thirdly, it must be concrete. That's what C stands for. Concrete, solid goals. Concrete and solid goals. I hope you are taking this down. It's the key to explosion next year. Listen, this is the message that the body of Christ will be talking about here in Nigeria now. The syllabus has changed. Some people are still writing this year's exam with the syllabus of last year. Those days are over. Every problem you want to solve, Oluwa, Oluwa, Jo, Oluwa, Oluwa, Shegun is not helping himself. Okay? By now, we should understand that. I have watched with a burden in my heart people in church who have prayed and fasted. They have given tithe and offering. 5 years, their situations have not changed. Why? Ephesians 3:20. God is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that you may ask or what? Think. We focused on the asking part. We left the thinking. As he thinketh in his heart, so is he. All we are focused on is killing our enemies. Enemy. enemy, in the name of Jesus, they will not catch me. In the name of Jesus, I create a coffin for my enemy. I like that illustration. Create a coffin for my enemy. I push my enemy into the coffin. I nail the coffin in the name of Jesus. When you have killed all your enemies and you still don't have a plan, you are not going anywhere. As he thinketh, not as his enemy thinketh for him, as he thinketh in his heart. You remember what I've always said? If the witch inside you can't kill you, the one in your village won't catch you. Handle the one inside first. There's a witch inside. Handle that witch. This is where it is. Oluwa, Oluwa, for confirm, it's okay. Somebody said he had somebody praying like that. That God should use a rope to pull him. Or is he rope they use now? Where simple principles like this are in the Bible. And people who don't even speak in tongues have used them. They produce powerful things on ground. It's not rope. They have put the steps there before you can climb as fast as you want to go. Amen. Please, let's go. Steps to planning. Number one, set a definite goal. Set a definite goal. Nothing becomes dynamic until it becomes specific. Be very specific. Be very specific. You're setting a goal with respect to your finances. Write the amount of money. Be specific. It's very important. Set a definite goal. Be very definite. We'll still come to the different areas in which you set goals later. Set a definite goal. Secondly, decide on a deadline. Decide on a deadline. When will it be achieved? Even when you are fixing the goals for next year, fix deadlines for each item. Be very definite. You want a car, specify the kind of car, specify the color. Amen. And all the options that you want. Leather seats, alloy wheels, specify. Amen. Good. Be very definite and then set a deadline. I want that Jaguar by 30th of April, 2002. Amen. Set a definite deadline. In our book, Ideas Rule the World, I share the testimony of one Dr. Frank Gonzalez in the United States, in the state of Illinois. He wanted to build a school. He didn't like what was going on in the educational system. And he was a reverend minister. For 2 years, the man was saying, if I had $1 million, I would build a school. If I had $1 million. One day like that, I think it was a Friday, he said, the Holy Spirit just spoke to his heart. When will you get the $1 million? You've been saying this for 2 years. When will you get it and do what you want to do? He said, immediately just made up his mind. I'll get $1 million in the next 1 week. As soon as he made that deadline, his brain opened up. He had an idea. In fact, to preach a sermon on Sunday in the church, titled, What I Would Do If I Had $1 Million. So he sent a message to the editor of the newspaper in town. Please put the notice there for the Sunday paper. Dr. Frank Gonzalez preaching in his church. What I would do if I had $1 million. Now Sunday morning, he said he knelt down by his bed, prayed, took off to church. When it was time to preach, he went up the pulpit, reached into his suit pocket to bring out the sermon notes. There was nothing there. In his excitement, he had forgotten the note at home. He said, well, he had been preparing the sermon for the past 2 years in his heart, so there was no problem. He just exploded. What I would do if I had $1 million. As soon as he was through, he sat down on the seat there on the podium. A man stood up from the back with his hat in his hand, walked up to him and said, Reverend, that was a powerful sermon. I believe you will do what you said you will do if you had $1 million. If you don't mind, if you can see me in my office tomorrow, I'll give you a check for $1 million. My name is Philip D. Amo. He got the one.